There's that rooster crow, Old Faithful. Just like clockwork, 8:06 every Saturday morning, rousing up Arizonans that are motivated to do something about their landscape yard. And in particular, this Saturday, talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service right here on Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Jennifer's call screening today. Mike's working the board as always. Rosie's listening in and joining in from a remote Arizona location. We'll get to that in a little bit. But starting off in the landscape and garden with trees, John Eisenhower.
Hello, hello. It's good to be here again on a beautiful Saturday morning.
It is. And we've got a new feature that we're bringing to the Talking Trees where we're highlighting a specific tree each broadcast.
We are. Today, we want to do a hats off to our Arizona state tree. We got to kick this feature off
with
by
the state
talking
tree.
About our very favorite tree, our homegrown Arizona state tree, the blue Palo Verde, Parkinsonia floridum. Beautiful, beautiful tree. In fact, it's an appropriate tree to start out with, too, because they've just completed their bloom. In fact, we're looking out this window. Look behind you right there. That's
beautiful.
You know, they say the blue Palo Verde can grow to about 40 feet. That is every bit of 40 feet. It could be.
We're on the second floor,
and it's easily up to the third. It's 10 feet taller than this window. So there's a beautiful specimen blue Palo Verde. They just finished their bloom, and they're just a beautiful, wonderful tree. We can talk about its features, and it's just a great tree.
Their bloom, they're the first ones generally in the spring, so they're usually the first to lose it all.
Yeah, as you drive around the city, you'll see all the yellow bloom on a lot of the trees still, but the blue Palo Verde is the first one to start blooming. And some of the hybrid blue Palo Verdes, they actually have cultivated so that instead of a two-week bloom, they have a two-month bloom,
Wow. Which
is really beautiful. I mean, if you want a really nice floral display in your house, a hybrid blue Palo Verde is a great choice of a tree, although keep in mind that you're going to be cleaning up flowers for two full months, and if you got one near a tree, they could be a little bit or near a pool, they could be problematic.
When we'll get to pools earlier, that's one of our questions we've pulled for you this week from our listeners. But before we get to that, our main topic today—that's our tree—but our main topic today on tree care, we've got, I don't know, a couple weeks. It's already been a pretty windy spring. You had a little bit of rain from the monsoons coming in. What kind of preparation do we need to do? If a tree hasn't blown over yet, that doesn't mean it couldn't once all the soil's wet. What kind of preparation do we need to do for the rest of the moisture that's coming behind the wind?
Right, we got the monsoon just around the corner. It's a good time to be preparing your trees. There's three things we look at doing, and that is one, first prune the trees adequately so that you take some of the end weight out so that they're not so prone to blowing over in the storms. Get a good qualified arborist. There's plenty here in town, really good. An ISA certified arborist would be my recommendation.
And you can, Arizona Community Tree Council can help you locate those all over the state.
Right. Go to aztrees.org, and they've got a searchable database there where you can find an arborist close to you. But anyway, after you do that end weight reduction, sometimes you might want to stake some of your smaller trees that have just been installed. That does help to keep them upright.
And when we're staking trees, we're not talking the travel stake that you come from the nursery.
Right, right.
That gets taken out.
Yeah, it's a good rule of thumb to take out that travel stake that's taped to the actual trunk of the tree and then suspend the tree between two or three stakes using a soft material to keep it from damaging the trunk of the tree.
And what's a soft material? Because when you look around, most of what's available, you see the green wire. I say it's green. It's wire that's coated with some green, you know, plastic stuff. But I mean, it's still a wire. And you drive along the roadsides, and that's probably the most popular thing you see. So naturally, you think, well, that must be the right way to do it.
Yeah, a lot of people put the wire inside a piece of hose and wrap the hose around the tree. And that does an adequate job if you're not going to be leaving it on the tree for a long period of time. Generally, we like to get trees off of stakes within the first season. If you've staked the tree well and it's been able to move slightly inside the staking system, it should be able to be anchored well enough in the native soil so that after a year you can take those stakes off. But we like to use nylon webbing. It's really soft on the trees. You can tie it easily to the stakes, and it's a better for the tree long term.
Now, I don't recall seeing nylon string in the tree section at any hardware
nylon
nursery.
Webbing.
Nylon webbing. Where do you have to go to, like... House of Hancock Fabrics or something like that?
Well, you can look up tree tie online and find some available there, or you can go to your local REI and just get some webbing material. It's only about 30 cents a foot, so it doesn't cost you too much at all. The last thing I wanted to say for storm prep is be sure to shut your water off if you anticipate a storm is on its way within 24 hours. Good thing just to shut your sprinklers off so that the soil can dry out a little bit before that wind comes. The worst thing to happen is for the ground to be completely saturated with water. Then the wind comes, and not only do you have branch breakage, but you have entire trees lifting out of the soil, and you can lose the entire tree. So shut your water down just before the storms are heading your way.
And obviously, there's no perfect way to predict the storm coming in, coming out. How long can they go without it? Because the monsoons usually tease us for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it seems like, before they really dump. It seems like that's how long it takes for the moisture to build up. Or maybe it's just that it's always been so long since we've had a rain, it feels like it's 5 weeks before it pours.
I know, it's torture, it really is. Even the meteorologists are pulling out their hair this time of year trying to predict when the first rain is going to come. Yeah, the big buildup comes in the afternoons, and my wife is just a storm lover. Kim is just, so anxious for that first downpour. And, we sometimes just are so aggravated for 2 or 3 weeks of storm buildups with no rain. But, yeah, in terms of your trees, just do your best to try to, predict when that first big windstorm is going to come your way.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation as we make our way through the calls, Maria's first off in Tucson, Arizona. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. I have a question on weed control, weed and grass in tree wells. I used Roundup Extended Control for the rest of the yard where there's nothing growing anyway. And so that works good for that part of the yard, but I was concerned about using it in the tree wells. Is it safe to use that, or is there something better?
Well, I can't really speak to the specific product you're using, but any kind of a systemic herbicide, generally when applied directly to any leafy surface, will only affect the plant that it's applied to. There could be some translocation of the chemicals to the surrounding roots of other through the root material. Mm-hmm. If the herbicide is carried down into the root system of the grass, and there are some tree roots there could be some transmission of the chemical into the tree roots. And okay. We have heard anecdotal reports that heavy dosages of herbicide on grass around trees can have some translocation and some damage to the trees and even some trees dying. So I think that would have to be a very, very heavy application. Generally, the tree roots are at a little bit lower level, and the small amounts of herbicide that are taken up in the grass generally wouldn't be able to kill a tree. But
yeah, these are citrus trees and a fig tree.
How old are they?
Ancient. more than 5-10 years old.
I think if you would follow label instructions with your herbicide, you shouldn't have any problem with spraying those underneath a tree. Generally, the trees are shading out the grass, so you shouldn't have very much grass growing under there. But I would just follow the label instructions. I don't think you'd have an issue.
I do know, she had mentioned Roundup, and I don't know that one particular either, but there's a weed killer that advertises with Rosie on the House by Bayer Advanced, their Durazone. Mm-hmm. And they make it very clear, this will kill everything. And the young trees, they say, are about 3 years old. You really want to be careful and keep the spray away.
Yeah, especially there's overspray too. You want to be sure that there's no overspray getting on the trunk of the tree. That's the real damage, real concern too. So do protect the trunk, because if you're using a hose in or just a small backpack sprayer or a bottle sprayer, you need that. There could be a little spray that would get right up on the trunk, and that would be pretty damaging.
That was a good question around the tree base, because I fight that a lot too. But I let the weeds grow now, because it's a fairly young orchard. There's about 50 trees there, all different types of citrus and stone fruits, and I've got nice beds of mulch around them and the drip irrigation. Well, after that irrigation goes on, the chickens go in there and they tear everything up, and they've actually killed a few trees because they've dug down so far the entire tree's fallen over. Well, the weeds are the only thing that'll keep them from scratching out, going in there and scratching it out. So I let the weeds go to keep the chickens off the root balls. But for her application, I think looking forward, if she's really worried about it, a pre-emergent is going to be her answer for the weeds.
Yeah, maybe so. There you go.
Pull out what she has by hand and then rely on pre-emergence after that. Let's bring Chris into the conversation and see what he's working on this morning with his saguaro. Good morning, Chris.
Wasn't a saguaro, it was a sago palm.
Sorry, I read too fast.
I have two questions. Can I transplant a sago palm? It's right now, it's on the north side of my backyard. I wanted to transplant it to the west side of my house near my pool.
You know, sago palms on the west side of anything is probably not a great idea just because they're so sun sensitive. I'd be very careful there. These palms are not, they're a little more sensitive for transplanting, and I would be just careful. How old is the plant?
Oh, it's probably 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, so it's probably, what, 3 or 4 feet across, tip to tip on the leaves?
At least, yeah. And I have a two-story house, so...
He has a two-story house. That was the last I heard. It sounded like we lost it.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, if you might want to consider getting that tree professionally boxed by transplant companies that actually will side box those trees. It is a little more sensitive than some of our typical fan palms that it can be planted with very little root mass. I'd be very careful planting that, and I certainly wouldn't put it on the west side of a house. That could be pretty hard on the plant.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. With the mild winter we've had, it is insect season. And with the moisture coming from the monsoons we talked about, it's only going to make it worse. You'll hear coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, the heat is breeding season for bugs. But there is nowhere they can hide if you're using Bonide's 8 Insect Control. You can use it inside on your house plants. You can use it outside on your flower beds, your vegetable gardens, your lawn. It's Bonide's 8 Insect Control. It kills on contact, and it repels for up to 30 days. We talked last week about granulars versus liquid. Well, with most things Bonide produces, they have both for whatever's best for your situation. It comes in a dust or a liquid concentrate, ready to use and ready to spray formulations. Bonide's 8 Insect Control can be found at nurseries all over the state, including Harlow Gardens and Landscape in Tucson. If you're in the Flagstaff, Northern Arizona area, Warner's Nursery. Just ask for Misty and she'll make sure you get set. And Treeland Nurseries in Mesa.